Good morning and welcome to today's STS-134 mission status briefing. We're here with Derek Hassman, the lead flight director for the mission, and we'll start off with comments from Derek and then move on to our questions from reporters. Derek?
Okay, thanks, Kelly, and good morning, everyone. Good to be here again today. Wrapping up another busy day on the space station, the Shuttle Endeavor. One of the reasons we added the extra extension days to the mission was to work on station and get ahead tasks that would put us in the best position for both the stage and then STS-135 coming up in July. And one of the critical items that we wanted to get repaired that I've talked about in previous briefings is the carbon dioxide removal assembly, or CDRA. And it's a piece of hardware that wasn't necessarily engineered or designed to be repaired on orbit, but over the last several years, we've had a number of different issues with the unit, and we've come a long way in terms of our ability to repair CDRA on orbit. You probably saw some of the great video that the crew downlinked from the GEM module where they were doing the actual repairs, and it kind of gives you a feel for the complexity and just the access challenges that the crew has with the number of valves and tubing and the thick insulation, et cetera. So, Spanky and Taz, Mike Fink and Greg Shamtoff were working on the carbon dioxide removal assembly most of the day. When I left Mission Control, they were a little bit behind. We're going to see where they were going to get before they called it a night, and then potentially rescheduled additional time tomorrow for them to finish out that work. But as we discussed before, the goal is to change out one of the two cartridges or beds that remove CO2 in that Node 3 carbon dioxide removal assembly, put a new bed in there, and then get the entire unit installed back into its home in the Node 3 module. So we're probably an hour or so away from finishing that when I left, and my expectation is that when I come on ship tomorrow, we'll have that CDRA work done. So that's another big objective behind us. In addition to the CDRA work, both crews continued on their transfer work, moving items back and forth from shuttle to station. When I checked in before I left, the report was that we were about 66% done with the total transfer work, and that was before we tagged up with the crew at the end of the day. We have normally planned tag up where the crew briefs the ground on the progress made to date. So I would expect that once they factor in that brief, we'll be right on the timeline. We've got a number of hours scheduled on the timeline tomorrow before hatch close. In addition to the CDRA work and transfer, we also did a lot of work in the joint airlock. One of the things we have to do on every shuttle mission is to get the shuttle crews, EMUs or spacesuits ready for return on the orbiter. For this particular mission, Drew Feustel and Mike Fink are the designated astronauts that would perform a contingency spacewalk if one was required after undock. So one of the things we have to do toward the end of each of these missions is to prepare their spacesuits for a return on the shuttle. And another technique that we use in order to change out new hardware, new spacesuit hardware on the station, is that we scavenge shuttle crew members' suits. So for example, we had Feustel and Fink suits in the airlock today, and we took parts from their suits and installed those parts on suits that would stay on station. We in turn took older parts from the station suits, installed those on Feustel and Fink suits. So in the end, you have two complete functional EMUs or spacesuits that will return on shuttle, available for use if necessary, but they have the older parts still with insert, still serviceable, but older parts return on the shuttle. The newer parts from the shuttle astronauts' spacesuits stay on station. So at the end of the day, we had two good spacesuits for Feustel and Fink. Those will get transferred over to the shuttle. In addition, as another get ahead, looking ahead to STS-135, where we talked before about the fact that there will be a spacewalk on 135, but it will be performed by the increment crew, specifically Mike Fossum and Ron Guerin. So one of the other things we did today, since we had the time and the expertise available, is that we configured the spacesuit that Mike Fossum will use on the 135 spacewalk, basically got it ready to go for that spacewalk. So, you know, really the theme of the day was maintenance on station and get aheads on the stage, kind of looking ahead to STS-135. So another busy, productive day on station. let's see, looking ahead, we just wrapped up flight day 13. Flight day 14, the emphasis is on last minute transfer and transfer of payloads and other cargo that has to be done at the last minute for reasons driven by science or other things. And then end of flight day 14, we do the hatch close. And then finally, flight day 15, early in the day, we do undock. So with that, Kelly, that concludes my part of the overview.
Thanks, Joe. We'll start here with questions in Houston. Please state your name and affiliation before your question. Robert?
Hi, Rob Perlman with CollectSpace.com with a couple of questions. Regarding transfer, has a decision been made about bringing down the EGF from the boom inside Endeavor, or will it wait for STS-135?
Yeah, that's a good question. The EFGF, which for EVA-4, we decided not to defer the stowage of the EFGF in the tool stowage assembly. We made a decision that that would come down on STS-135 and the MPLM.
And with regards to the CEDRA repair, just before coming here, I heard that they were running closer to their pre-sleep and sleep schedule and might have to delay finishing the task, the repair. If they can't get this done today and tomorrow, is that something that the expedition crew has to pick up immediately to complete, or can it wait and you have other systems to support that? Thanks.
Yeah, we have a functional carbon dioxide removal assembly that's operating today in the lab module, and then we also have the Vozduk system in the Russian segment. So we have those two separate ways to do carbon dioxide removal, and those two devices are capable of removing all the CO2 that we need to from station. So what the Note 3 CEDRA gives us is purely redundancy. So if we don't finish tomorrow, certainly Ron Guerin has a training to do it, but if he didn't have the time between now and 135, we could also postpone it after 135. So no immediate urgency, but it'd be nice to have that redundancy back.
Okay, Denise?
Denise Chow with space.com. I know the decision was made early not to add an extra day, but with the transfer work and the CEDRA, would an extra day have helped a lot with this mission?
I mean, there's always more to do. But looking at the timeline and the way it's laying out, we've gotten all the high priority objectives that we wanted to get. There's additional work that could have been done, but we've already got a long mission, you know, planned. 16 days is a long mission in general. And then if you look at the potential for weather wave offs, it could get longer after undock. So I'm really happy with the way the timeline laid out. Really pleased with all the work we got done and all the high priority objectives that are behind us. So I think in retrospect that was the right decision.
Okay. Seeing no other questions right here, let's go to our phone bridge. Bill Harwood.
Yeah, thanks, Derek. Just two quick ones for me. I've just missed this. Is it the desiccant bed or the absorbent bed that they're replacing?
It's actually that bed. They do both. So there's two of these desiccant absorbent beds in the carbon dioxide removal assembly, and they are replacing one of those two.
Okay, I understand. Thank you. And the second one, and I just missed this earlier too. Where did the OGS maintenance end up?
We actually completed that maintenance, so we installed the new hosing and the cartridge filter that's intended to scrub the contaminants from the water line. Once the crew finished that, we turned on OGS and we did some delta pressure checks to make sure that we were getting the flow rates that we expected, and all of that's gone as expected. So that we finished out the OGS work, and the activation went well. The OGS is now available for oxygen production if we need it.
Thanks. And again, back to CEDRA, I'm just making sure I understand the innards of this thing. You have two beds, but each bed has a desiccant and an absorbent. Is that how that works?
That's true, but yeah, and I need to go verify this, but I believe it's all one unit, which we're taking out.
All right, thanks. I appreciate it.
You're welcome.
Okay. And I think we have Todd Halverson on as well. Todd, are you there? Well, we may have...
Sure am. Can you hear me?
We can hear you now.
Okay, Todd Halverson of Florida Today. Derek, I was just wondering what your thoughts are about the opportunity during the upcoming fly around to see the International Space Station with the U.S. portion at assembly complete? Thanks.
The fly around photos are always spectacular, just amazing views of the space station. And, you know, every time I see a picture from that perspective, it kind of, you know, it reminds you just everything we've accomplished over the past number of years. And I don't know if you've seen them yet, but the pictures that Greg Shamatov took from the top of ELC-3 with the fisheye lens are out there now, too. And, I mean, those are some of the most amazing photographs I've ever seen. So, you know, anytime you see something like that, it just kind of makes you pause and appreciate just everything that we've accomplished.
And if I could follow that real quickly, I'm wondering what your thoughts are. You've been with NASA, I think, since 1990, way back when, and you've been through this entire process of not only the redesigns of space station, but the actual assembly of the massive vehicle. And I'm wondering if you have any particular thoughts now that you actually are at assembly complete. It's been a long time coming.
It has been a long time coming. And, you know, there's been a lot of ups and downs, especially, I think I mentioned it before, but especially in the early 90s, you know, when it seemed like there was a cycle every 2 years of a bottoms-up redesign, you know, I had doubts that we'd ever get any hardware launch, quite honestly. So, you know, it was an amazing thing just to be involved in the first launch of U.S. hardware, STS-88, and there was a period there from about 1998 to 2003 where we went from, you know, questions about the program even happening and congressional votes, you know, yearly about whether to cancel station. But then you look at what we accomplished from 1998 to 2002, 2003, you know, once we got the laboratory module launched. I mean, that was a period that I remember looking back on and just being amazed by how much we'd accomplished over that period. And then, you know, after that point, you know, unfortunately, it becomes somewhat like clockwork and routine. You know, we've got so many good people, so many qualified engineers, so many smart folks that are willing to work all the details that, you know, you just, you pick the team, you plug them in, and they go off and do what it is that they're so good at doing. And that's, you know, one of the downsides of what we do is that ultimately, when you actually execute the mission, it all ends up looking so easy that people take it for granted. You know, and that goes from KSC to launching or to getting the shuttle ready to go, and then the actual launch to all the on-orbit operations, even the rendezvous and docking, all the spacewalks, all the robotics. You know, these are things that 10, 15 years ago we hadn't thought about doing. And now, you know, we have 4 and 5 EVAs, multiple parallel activities going on inside. So it's just, you know, it's a tribute to really the people, both at NASA centers all over the country, and then to the great crews that fly with us as well.
Thanks, Derek. That's all from me.
Okay. Any further follow-ups back here in Houston? Seeing none, we'll wrap up this briefing and thank everyone for coming. Just a couple of programming notes. The crews are starting to shift their schedules again, so the station crew's sleep shift scheduled to begin at 10:26 a.m. today, and that's Central Time. And then the Endeavour crew sleep will begin half an hour later at 10:56 a.m. And then we'll have our International Space Station Flight Director update coming up at 3:45 p.m. this afternoon. So with that, we'll send you back to Mission Control, and a reminder that those great photos, Derek, we're talking about are available on the NASA website at www.nasa.gov. Thanks for being here.